This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Hijacked Economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The shots at the economy are coming from far and wide. Today, the Indian Navy sank a suspected pirate ship in the Gulf of Aden. It's the stretch of water between Yemen and Somalia, and it's gotten very dangerous lately. Over the weekend, a Saudi oil tanker was hijacked there. The shipping industry is taking a big hit from these battles with pirates. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
26 ships have been seized in the region this summer alone. Their owners have reportedly coughed up more than $30 million in ransom. Insurance premiums have shot up. The cost of covering the passage through the pirate-infested waters of the Gulf of Aden is up tenfold this year. Roger Middleton is an expert on maritime security. He says the shipping companies may now have to hire bigger crews to ward off the pirates and spend more money on fuel.
One of the other things that ships do to avoid being captured is to steam much faster through the Gulf of Aden than they would normally. And that obviously burns more fuel and, again, adds to the costs of a journey.
He says the ultimate evasive action is to avoid the Suez Canal and the Gulf of Aden altogether and travel around the Cape. But that can add a couple of weeks to the journey at $30,000 a day. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The stock markets aren't sinking as much today. There were small losses in Asia by the close. European shares are down 2% so far. But Wall Street's coming off a small rebound, 151 points for the Dow, almost 2%. And the NASDAQ and S&P 500 had smaller gains yesterday. Today, the Food and Drug Administration opened its first office overseas, in China. It's an obvious choice considering the list of tainted food products coming out of China. I'm joined now by our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Scott, what's the FDA hope to accomplish with this?
The point is for U.S. checkers of food to move past the borders where traditionally United States officials check food coming in from China and other places. It's to go closer to where the point of origin is.
And is the FDA thinking this is the solution to the problem of tainted food and other products getting into this country?
Well, surprise, surprise, it's not going to be the silver bullet. China has something like 400,000 small food processors. I mean, there are little tiny plants and farms, and it's so fragmented. And so it's impossible for anyone to check every single one. So the risks will always be there. The hope is that these risks get minimized when the right people are involved.
And is this just a one-off with China, or is the FDA planning to expand this in other countries?
Oh, it's in a lot of places in the world. There will be three offices in China and India, in Europe and Latin America. The point, as the FDA official said today, is to globalize the agency's mission because more and more of what Americans eat comes from overseas. It's something like 15% of food that Americans eat is imported now. And as far as China's concerned, there's a China footprint, whether you know it or not, in a lot of aisles in the supermarket. It's vitamins, dietary supplements, processed foods, on and on. It's more globalized than most of us know. And the FDA is trying to keep up with that.
Scott Tong, our correspondent in Shanghai. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
The leaders of Detroit's Big Three will be back on Capitol Hill today, pleading their case one more time. But U.S. automakers aren't the only ones asking for help. European carmakers are calling for billions of dollars in loans from the EU. And today, Chinese carmakers ask their government for help. Maybe some money to develop technology, or even just cutting taxes so people have more money to spend on cars.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
There's lots of speculation about who will land positions in Barack Obama's cabinet. But Obama might also add some other positions into the mix, like czars. Commentator Will Wilkinson doesn't like that idea.
Remember America's can-do point man in the war on drugs, the so-called drug czar? Well, if you like czars, you'll love President-elect Barack Obama. He's proposing a new technology czar, he's considering a climate czar, and he's even floated the idea of a car czar. In tough times like these, America does not need a dose of tragic Russian authoritarianism. America does not need more czars. Did you know that the Constitution does not mention czars even once? I know, weird. The president's cabinet is composed of heads of various executive offices. These offices, like the Department of Education, are generally proposed by the president and approved by Congress. But the president can create new sub-cabinet-level offices more or less at will, which is where most so-called czars dwell. Since Nixon created the first energy czar in 1973, our government has become czar-crazy. But why? Has a czar ever delivered anything more than the illusion that somebody's got things under control? Jimmy Carter bestowed upon America two inflation czars who then czared inflation to all-time highs. Reagan gave us the drug czar, and now that problem's licked. Czars and special new offices are mainly political theater, the equivalent of looking busy. But they can do harm. Czarmania is a symptom of the dangerous ongoing expansion of executive power. The idea that we need an executive branch czar implies that our democratic lawmaking bodies don't have sufficiently singular will to just get it done. Czars are too often a cosmetic reaction to problems government itself created. Politicians promise much, but government too rarely delivers. In the end, it's the innovation and enterprise of private citizens, not a swarm of pint-sized Caesars, that really delivers the goods.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website. And what do you think? Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.